How are you?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. Great. Thank you. Back in Florida? Yeah. So,
yeah, I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah. What's on your mind?
Well, I think one thing on my mind is I'm back in Florida, too. I was gone. I was at my client's daughter's wedding in New Orleans last weekend.
Great.
Yeah. And you know, this client is has been an ambassador for me over the years. He's very well connected. He started a business here in South Florida and then sold it. That's in the healthcare administration and finance.
Right.
And yeah, so he knows a lot of people in healthcare. He knows a lot of physicians. They partnered with doctors, so he knows a lot of doctors. He also has a lot of people were invested in his business. He sold it to United Healthcare for $250 million or something like that. So in the process, doing right by quite a lot of folks. Generally a very well-known and respected guy. He's on the board of directors at Florida International University down here. So very much in a good position to help and very inclined to help me. He had said in the past, I had asked him if he'd be on my board of directors, which he said sure, but that I never got that off the ground. But he's somebody where we meet with on a monthly basis for breakfast at this restaurant that is kind of a hot spot of local successful Cuban business people in the community, and he's always, you know, he'll know several people there any given day, and he's always introducing me around. If I could have breakfast there with him every day, I'd be happy to do so. So my question for you is, at the wedding, I knew, of course, all of his kids, most of which are clients already. In fact, all of which are clients already, and knew several people otherwise. Also met some folks, but I wasn't there passing out business cards. I think that's tacky.
Right.
So how do you think the best way now to circle back, I think through him, and follow up with some of the folks who were at his wedding also? You know, who might make good clients.
Right. And I would just say that, you know, just so we don't neglect somebody that was at the wedding that you think I should meet, is there anybody that that comes to mind that would be a good fit for us?
Mm-hmm. Basically the VIPSA process, I mean, you know,
yeah,
I think we don't...
Yeah, you can go back. You don't have to do the whole thing. You know, you've kind of established yourself with him.
Right.
And, you know, you just simply tell, Abe, you know who we work best with. You know who would probably be a good fit. I met a lot of nice people at the wedding. Is there somebody that you think we should follow up with?
Yeah, gotcha. And then just kind of go through the, you know, write names down, who else comes to mind, and then, you know, circle back to, why do you think so-and-so would be a good person for me to get in front of?
Right. And, you know, is there somebody that's kind of really needs us, you know, that you know that given their opportunity, they're going to screw themselves up and really should listen to us, you know? You don't want to fix broken people, but you certainly do want to get to people before they blow all their money and things like that, you know?
Sure. Although I don't want to be introduced to the least successful people who went to the wedding.
No. I understand. It's just, you know, sometimes there's got to be a little pain, usually, right? There's got to be a rationale for why they need you right now. They just sold their business. You know, they just sold their business. They just went through this. They got a divorce. There's something going on. So anything where there's movement, then you're needed, you know?
That makes good sense.
Yeah. And gotcha. He knows the people that, you know, are more comfortable with money than not with money, and the people that need you the most versus those that, you know, there's been somebody that he's been trying to get you to get in front of, and, you know, for one reason or another, it just didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that person's out floating around in space waiting for somebody to steal money from them, right?
Right.
So,
do you think that I should just, you know, bring it up at our next breakfast? Or is that the kind of thing where, you know, hey, Justo, thanks for inviting me to your wedding. It was really wonderful. I'd love to, you know, take you to drinks after work and brainstorm a little bit.
Yeah, I'd do that. Sure. You said, you know, if I could go every day to lunch with him, I would. You might as well go every, you know, instead of every 20 days, go every 10 days, you know, go have drinks with them.
Yeah, that sounds good. I mean, our next breakfast is scheduled for the 14th, which would be next Thursday. But I think, you know, it would be nice for me to take him out to drinks, which I've done in the past, and that's gone well. I think that's a more relaxed kind of environment. And it's also a little bit more special than just, you know, hey, let's, you know, let me, you know, buy you some eggs. A bagel.
Right. No, I think it's really sweet. It's nice.
That sounds good. Yeah, plus he does cancel he cancels breakfast if something's going on for him that day, so it's not a shoo-in that I'll be seeing him.
Right. So this is good.
Okay. All right, that sounds good. You know, not a whole lot else is on my mind. I mean, and I think that I'm learning the process pretty well because I mean, discussing this, you confirmed everything that I had suspected was the way to approach it.
Good. Good.
Yeah. Definitely.
What you're feeling then is that you're becoming more confident at this.
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
You know, I mean, to give you kind of an update as to where I'm at, you know, in
yep.
terms of the good, the bad, the ugly, I have a meeting on Monday the 11th with the board of directors, several members of the board of directors of that group called Breakthrough Miami, that I had already met with the development director, they had been hard to schedule with, but we've got it scheduled for a breakfast meeting. I've been offered to be on the board at Humane Society, but I've been holding them off. I think that the Breakthrough Miami is a better fit and resonates more. And then also I had a meeting scheduled for a few days ago that rescheduled for November 20th with the United Way. And that's still an organization under consideration. I did meet a guy at the wedding who I knew was in the Tocqueville Society, and it was one of Justo's business associates who I recognized the name when I looked through the list of names. So I asked him his experience with it, and he was very positive around it. So I do think that if I choose to go in that direction, he would be somebody who could introduce me to the right people and vouch for me, which I think could be a big benefit.
You know, if you have time, it's not bad to have multiple board membership. It's okay. You just have to understand they take time, and you got to be willing to do it. But if you can do three, go for it. And you can always back off if you feel it's, you know, you do your minimum stint and then get out if you don't think it's
true.
Worthwhile.
You know, I mean, I guess life comes at you as it does, you know, and you can't always pick. But ideally, I'd prefer to join one than another, than maybe another. And I don't want to join three at once and spread myself too thin from a time commitment and financial resources as well. And then find, you know, doing a crappy job on three different boards and not making any real impact.
Right. Yeah. And that's my attitude. I was always on two. And I could handle two.
Yeah.
And they were very different. You know, one was arts and one was charity. And my wife helped me, you know, on the, like, she ran the when we did the, we did the opera. I was president of the opera, and she ran the opera ball, and so we were kind of a team. That made things a lot easier.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be on, like, the there was a family. So that was the arts organization, and then I'd be on a charitable organization, you know, like, you know, battered wives and children's a place for them to go, that kind of thing. That was
yeah.
nice. So,
yeah,
you know, I always liked what I did. It wasn't like it was torture. You know, there were needs that were important, and the opera was crazy, kind of fun people. They're nuts. Opera
yeah.
people are very different. It's not your average crowd.
Yeah.
They're eccentric in many cases, and they love music and love dance. You know, it's just a really interesting crowd and some real wealth, you know, like, and you can never get to that wealth, and they have no interest in stocks or bonds or anything like that. Not these guys. They just happen to be really wealthy.
What is their motivation for having hiring a new financial advisor then? Or why would they typically move their money? They just like you.
They like you, you know. Theirs dies, or they like you, or I don't know. You gotta, you know, you just have to, you're just going to get a certain number of them. Like, you know, I never worked at it. It just came, you know. Like when I did my Navy duty, I had every single officer in the whole place was my client because they trusted me. You know? So
sure.
That was easy. The opera was a little more, you know, they were a little more set. But they were nice people, and the, you know, my wife was the one that always got all the accounts for me. It was so weird because nobody'd come to me. They'd always approach her and say, would Rob have time to talk to my husband? He won't say anything, but he's all screwed up.
That's great.
It happened all the time.
Yeah. This approach worked for advisors consistently, right?
Huh?
You've consistently seen this approach work for advisors?
Well, I've seen it work for the ones that are good at it, okay? The people that do this do it well, and they will have anywhere from 30 to 70% of their business come from this.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Rich Searles in my office was involved with IU. He'd always been on their board. Of, you know, this board or that board at IU. He knew everybody, and he had everybody, you know, he had tons of clients from there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a gal in my book that I met, and she was second generation. It was a regional firm. Her father ran it. She was second generation. He was still around. He was still president. She was an advisor. She was the one I wrote about that went from board to board to board.
Right.
And she'd been on most of the boards, and we did the math and went through her book, and about 35% of her clients came from those boards.
Well, my fear, and I'm sure you hear this from other advisors going through the coaching, is that, you know, I'm going to spend years of time, energy, and money on this and then realize, well, I never really got anything out.
Well, that won't happen if you just go to the meetings. If you just go to the meetings and you punch your top clock, then no, you won't get anything out of it. But if you go to the meetings with the intention of running for president, then you'll get to know everybody. You'll make friends. You'll call them in between. You'll go have lunch with them. You'll get to know them. You'll create your own little cadre of friends.
Right.
And then you'll be elected president. And then and business will come. Now, well, there'll always be a CPA on the on every board. There's always a CPA.
Mm-hmm.
And in my case, you know, I became friends with the CPA because we both played golf. He was a great guy.
Right.
So we, you know, that was the retirement community that I was on. And most people were great, you know. They were easy. I got, you know, I got quite a few clients from there.
Well, but, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense that, you know, it's not just showing up and that eventually people approach you and say, can you manage my account? You actually do have to cultivate friendships and be active and be there to serve.
You really have to make friends. That's the key. That's the part that kind of came as a revelation to me, that the people that did this well, they really became friends with all these people, real friends. And
right.
They did things outside of the organization. They became friends. They were on other boards together. Their wives, they see each other at these events, and they became the city leaders, you know, and mm-hmm. same with me, you know, we were considered a city leader because I was in all these things. And it's kind of what you do when you are a leader of the community. So if you're the CEO of a company, you're on a certain number of civic boards, and, you know, if you're good at it, then everybody likes you and wants you on their board, not just for the money, the prestige, but also because you're a good guy and you're fun and you get stuff done.
Right.
So that's the only way you'll meet some of these people. You just won't be able to meet them otherwise.
Right.
And you'll meet as peers. You'll meet as a peer rather than meeting as a vendor. And that's a big difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're
yeah.
equals on a board, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay?
Right.
So, there's no guarantees with any of these ideas. They just all work for the biggest producers out there.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure, okay, we'll do all of them and figure out what we're good at.
Sure, that makes sense. That makes sense. Well, I am happy to report the attorney who I had been sending business to, the guy who claimed, you know, had been married to Bessemer Trust. We went out to lunch again, and he introduced me to one of his associates, but also explained that he does. He actually stopped referring trust work out. He now does the trust administration himself. And but he does not manage money. So he had previously said he has me in mind for two clients of his. And I might have mentioned the guy who does it in himself but has terminal cancer and his wife knows nothing about investments. So it turns out I had thought, well, hey, how about an introduction? You know, let me meet him. It turns out that that's actually unnecessary because, you know, it's when the guy passes, he'll just bring the account to me. Yeah,
okay.
Since the attorney is the trustee. I mean, I still would like to meet him, but, you know,
yeah,
you kind
of
feel like that's not even necessary at this stage. He also mentioned there's another client of his who has $3 million that he's going to become the trustee for, and he has me in mind for that as well. So I continue to promote him, and good things are starting to happen.
That's, you know, in the long run, that's the only center of influence you may ever need.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you get a really good one and you guys hit it off, that's money. That's just money in the bank. You know, most
yeah.
big producers have, you know, like one CPA, one trust officer, one estate planning attorney, one realtor. They don't have tons of these.
Yeah.
And they, and they refer for years and years and years back and forth.
Right.
So
that's true.
So you okay? So now you get it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, let's assume these two clients are in your hands, okay? Now you get it. Now you see how valuable this is. You see how long it takes you to get it, okay? And then the question is, if you want to really become a big producer, you got to get a few more of these.
Yeah.
And so that's the question. You know, find a guy that's, you know, a professional, a lawyer, somebody else that can refer you that isn't in competition with this estate planning attorney, and you're in. Okay, you got one more filling up your mastermind group. Now, whether or not you ever actually create this mastermind group or multiple of them, you're getting the right people. The key is to get the right people.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
And then if you think it makes sense, put them together with each other because they get along. They're all the same kind of people. They're a lot of fun. And boom, you got yourself a mastermind group, which becomes explosive. In terms of referring back and forth between them, you know, they refer to each other. And so now you get credit for putting them together and creating more business for them. See?
Well,
so then they feel more obligated. Yeah.
Two of my prospective members of my mastermind group were at the wedding also.
That's really good.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, so there's this real, it's almost like there's this network out there that I've kind of fallen into, you know, of friends and colleagues and acquaintances of Justo, you know, that has, like the story you mentioned of a guy who asked his CPA to join a new mastermind group, and the CPA said he couldn't because he's already in one, and by the way, we need an FA, would you like to be involved?
Bingo.
Yeah, so I think, you know, and you had been nudging me in this direction, which is to get closer to Justo and get closer to my best clients.
So to me, this is something that I would now pursue.
Yeah.
Is there two people that are involved with him? And you're the third?
Yeah.
Okay, so create a dinner for the three of you.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with him.
Sure.
And talk about it. Present the idea of a mastermind group.
That sounds good.
I mean, you know the dynamics of that, but if that sounds like something that, well, first of all, this guy's an awesome guy, right?
For sure.
Yeah, and his friends would be awesome. And so this would be, it'd be a fun dinner, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so then the question is, who's missing?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be the point of the dinner. You know, would you guys be interested in this, getting together once a month for dinner? And then, you know, make it formal or less formal, but more formal will get more results. Would you guys be interested in doing this? And then the next question is who would help round this out?
Sure.
So the maximum I would have would be six.
Now, none of us can really refer to Justo, who's the leader of this. Should this be a mastermind group in the traditional sense, or should this be more like, hey, we're all really young, dynamic guys, some younger than others, Justo's actually in his late 50s, who, you know, let's just meet for drinks and dinner once a month and, you know, get away from the wives for the night.
Right. That's where you need to tell me. If he's the guy that brought you all together, but
basically, we
can't refer to him. So, you know, we'll all continue to be friends with him separately, but this will be kind of our group.
Right.
Okay, so that's great. If you want to include him because he's referred to everybody, great, bring him.
Sure.
That's one where you guys would have to sort of feel it out.
Gotcha.
I mean, you'd have to think through that.
I mean, it sounds like you're saying that the more, like, it should be intentional in the way that a mastermind group is intentional. Like, hey, we're coming to all help each other to be more successful, not just like, this is, you know, we all like to have a good time, so therefore we're just going to have dinner and drinks every once a month.
No, because guys will get sick of that. No, it's got to be something that's going to, you're all ambitious. You're all, he wouldn't be helping you guys if he didn't think you were talented.
Right.
And so, we're here to make him proud and all be very successful and really launch this thing. You know, this is a springboard. This is an enzyme, a catalyst to get us all more, more business, more productive, more effective, so we dominate and lead the world.
That sounds good.
And just go through and read that mastermind chapter again in the book,
mm-hmm.
or listen to it several times before you bring the group together, because there's very specific instructions in there on how to do this and do it right. You listen to the guys that I reference in there, they all tell you the same thing. When they get casual about it, it doesn't work. When it's very structured and, the guys, Tom Lavaccaro and that group, they actually had people sign an agreement.
Really?
Kind of a confidentiality agreement and an agreement to meet once a month and all this stuff. Yeah, it's really interesting. Of course, he just crushed it. He brought in, the first year I met with him, they brought in $160 million.
Wow.
A year, And then he went from, the two of them coming out of basically entrepreneur businesses where they sold their businesses and then entered our business. So they were entrepreneurs in the way they thought. And so they went mm-hmm. from, having a nice businesses to start to becoming, private wealth advisors, private bankers, with 50 clients, doing with a $10 million minimum. So it was really kind of fun to watch them grow up quick.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That was only in a few years. So Ken Shapiro and Tom Lavaccaro, they're with UBS, mm-hmm. but you can look them up and see what they've done. They're amazing. They had an entrepreneur's conference every year, a president's conference every year, kind of a YPO for people that, were CEOs and people like
that.
That was really
that they created?
They created it, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Those very, very impressive guys. And that's the fun part of this coaching is, I learned
mm-hmm.
I learned from you and I learned from these guys. And I mean, you'll end up teaching me some stuff as we go along because, you'll hit some things that, you'll try some things and it'll work. And then you'll say, hey, this worked. This didn't work out as well. So this is the way I'd recommend you do it and so forth. And that's how you get, that's how we get better.
Yeah, I hope so. I was not really looking forward to this call, feeling like, well, I don't really have much to talk about, maybe even that I haven't really been, making any real change, and maybe things aren't really going all that differently than they were prior to doing the coaching again. And, I kind of felt like I didn't have much to bring to the table. But, as we're talking, I realize, that's certainly not true, and that a lot of positive things are going on that would not have happened had we not been doing the coaching again. And, know that they haven't brought in a $5 million account this month to show off, but that doesn't mean that, we're not making progress and planting seeds that will eventually
right.
grow.
Right, right. Remember, measure how many referrals you're giving.
Right.
I know that sounds crazy, but focus on that to give yourself satisfaction while you're planting these seeds, okay? Because you want to weight the scale on the other side to the point of being ridiculous, and then it's got to come through. It's just got to.
Right.
You know, you can't be doing all these favors for other people and not eventually get favors done for you.
Right.
So when you think of yourself, what's your job? Your job is to be a connector.
Right.
If you think of yourself as, oh, I've given a bunch of referrals, you say, that's a finite thing. I did it, and now it's over. No, your job is to be a permanent connector. You're connecting people for now and forever. So that's when you get together with this mastermind group. What are you doing? You're connecting people. You're doing your job. That's your job. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm a connector. My job is to connect people. I did my job today. I got people together.
That makes sense.
See, and you're just making people happy constantly. Now, remember this, too. You probably aren't doing this, and so go back and do this. Want more? Make sure in each folder you have a introductions given and introductions received.
Mm-hmm.
Go through each folder and make sure you have, when somebody has opened an account, put down the date that they opened the account, and then call the person that referred you and thank them, and call the person that opened the account and thank them.
On that anniversary, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
And what that will do is it will make both of them realize you're a connector and realize how valuable you are, and they're going to want to make you happy. And so they're going to go, hey, I've got another guy. You don't really even have to ask. And maybe they won't, but it's not going to ever hurt you to make that call. And they may just have somebody for you. And you can say, don't keep me a secret. I really appreciate what you've done in the past. And it's just one of those things to fill in the quiet time, you know, when you're looking for something to do. Just go through and make those calls. And you can always call people that have been referred 2 years ago and 3 years ago and 4 years ago. Just put them in your folder and then put them on your calendar, you know, in the Outlook calendar for annual renewal.
Sure.
You know, and just remember, today is the day you open the account. I just want to call you and thank you. It's been 3 years.
Right.
It's been 3 years since you referred me John Smith. He's fabulous, and I really appreciate it. I just want to call and thank you. I mean, when did you get a call like that, you know? Never.
Yeah. Never. That is true.
Never. I had a guy call me every year on the anniversary of when I hired him.
Yeah.
And that was like years before in a completely different office, right? I just really appreciated it. John Burkhauser. Wonderful guy. Never forget him.
That's great.
And then he retired and stopped calling me. But it was fun. Anyway, we had a nice talk. So,
yeah, that's,
you know,
that's nice. And
do nice
I mean,
things.
Obviously, you know, as you get more, you know, as somebody refers more and more people to you, you'll be calling them more often.
Right.
You know,
which
I mean,
is
I'd
so
be calling
sweet.
Justo several times a year.
Which is wonderful. So make sure you do that. Go and put down the date of all the people that he's ever referred to you, and then put them on your Outlook calendar, and then call him. Besides all the other things you do, call him.
Right.
And thank him.
That sounds good.
And he probably surrounds himself. Remember, he surrounds himself with other givers. He's a giver. And so he surrounds himself with other givers. And so all those people have the capability of being just like he is. In fact, they probably are ambitious enough to be like he is. They want to be that way. And
so
they're all going to be vying for who's the biggest giver.
That sounds good.
And also remember the enthusiastically endorsed list. So don't forget to keep asking that question. Put that on your agenda. Ask the enthusiastically endorsed question. Oh, by the way, One of my clients is looking for a cardiologist. Can you enthusiastically endorse your cardiologist or, you know, whatever?
So what do you do? Do you do that every call or every meeting and just go down the list?
Just go down the list. Just ask for one every meeting, every time.
Okay. Or do you take, you know, once a year, you go down the entire list all at once?
It's up to you. It's up
okay.
to you. It depends on how you feel, you know. It's a great topic. So you can bring it up every time, you know. Just, oh, by the way, you remember my enthusiastically endorsed list? This week I'm looking for a dentist. You love your dentist
sure.
or not? You know? Oh, yeah, just a little extra conversation. Nobody minds.
That makes sense.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then
nobody
he goes,
would mind.
Nobody would mind. Oh, I love my dentist. Who is it? You know, I should meet him, right?
So
you say,
say,
oh, yeah.
You know, so-and-so loves their dentist. You know, what do? Do you ask for an introduction?
Sure. You said, I need to meet him because other people, I never introduced somebody I haven't met. So
right.
I need to meet him. Okay. You know what? You can do an email introduction to him. You can do a phone call introduction to him. You can, you know.
So then you call, hey, Dr. Jones, you know.
Yeah, you've been enthusiastically endorsed by your patient, you know, Jane Smith, says you're wonderful. I'd love an opportunity to meet. I have an enthusiastically endorsed kind of an Angie's List of professionals in the community, but I can't introduce you unless I've met you.
Sure.
So I'd like the opportunity to take 10 minutes and just get to know you.
And
then, say, sure, come by.
I mean, is it, are you just really looking to see if they're a good dentist, or at some point do you bring up, you know,
what's your job? Your job is to be a connector.
Sure. Gotcha.
See, just remember your job. Your job is to be a connector. So you need to meet people that are good, and you need to connect them with people that need them.
Sure.
You're part of
that.
You're part of that connector group, right? So then they need, when they find somebody that needs a financial advisor, oh, that's my connector friend. Go to him. He's great.
So it's not like it's a pretext to get him to a meeting, and then it's, hey, by the way, you know, are you happy with your financial advisor? I'd love to give you a second opinion.
No, I mean, I think more it's going to come up. You know, when you ask
sure.
him about his practice, he's going to ask you about your practice.
Sure. I mean, I guess you, like anything, you just kind of, you react appropriately. And if he starts asking you about my practice and starts, you know, showing interest, you know, you can steer the conversation and
right.
Would you like to sit down and talk? You know, and if he's not interested, that's pretty clear, too.
Right, and what you teach him is that, you know, we, like, for example, we bring this group together. You know, once you're accepted into the group, you know, here are the rules, no jerks allowed. You can't introduce somebody that's a jerk to our group. You have to treat everybody as a giver, you know, explain givers versus takers, that mentality. We're all givers. We all help. We all go well
yeah.
beyond what we would normally do to help this group. And then once a year, we bring the whole group together, meet each other, and celebrate, you know, the holiday, this holiday or that holiday, or do something, and we all have fun together. It's a great group. Take them out on a boat, you know, for evening cruise, dinner cruise or something, and get them all to meet each other. And you become the local celebrity of the enthusiastically endorsed professionals in the community.
That's
you tell me you
idea.
Wouldn't get more business because of it. You always act like you don't need any business. Like you're doing this
mm-hmm.
just to be nice, just to be a part of the civic community, you know.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Right.
All right. That sounds really good.
Yeah, and the more successful you are, the less you worry about getting the business. You want to keep it, and just like they have their money, they won't worry about making more money. They just want to keep the money they have.
Right.
That's the way you'll be. And of course, you're going to grow because people are going to want to do business with you because you're successful and you're a good guy and you help everybody.
Sure.
So once you turn that corner from I need business or I want business to, you know, I'll take business. I'm good right now. You know, I'm making more than I can spend and life is good. But you internally are very ambitious. You want to be number one in the country, but you don't want to let people sense that. You know, you're just like out there just helping the community and trying to help everybody else out. It just changes the brain. Your brain changes, theirs changes, and then they line up. You know, they're like, how do I get to be your client? You know.
Yeah.
Well, through this group, you've been introduced to me through this group, so that gives you a big advantage. Tell me about yourself, and you interview them to see if they have enough money to be your client.
Right.
You know, you got to think that way. The biggest producers think that way. They think, I think you're a great guy, but I'm not sure that it's a good fit. Why don't we sit down and talk and make sure that you know, that's going to be a good fit for both of us.
That sounds good.
And that's true. That's the way it is. You always want what you can't get into. You want to be join the club you can't get into. By the way, I just played East Lake Club up in Atlanta, and it was a blast. Played it twice, and that's one of those clubs that's $250,000 to get in. You can't get in unless you're invited. Sweet. Bobby Jones's old course where they play the East Lake Cup for the pro tournament. They had the East Lake Cup for the college kids, top four teams, men's and women's, play off against each other. And I went and played in an AM. That was a blast. Wonderful group of people. And that's the kind of thing. It's great fun, you know.
That sounds good.
Force your brain to be, force your brain to be a giver and concentrate on giving. The getting will come. It just really will. And look at your friend. I mean, he's a giver now. He doesn't care about getting anymore, right?
He's a very
attractive person in the community because everybody knows he's not looking to get anything. And the more you can send out that smell, the more successful you'll be.
It's true. It is true. I mean, the one thing he needs are introductions to doctors, general practitioner doctors who are in their 50s or later and possibly interested in selling their business, which is a pretty specific subset of the population. And, you know, I went out of my way to try and arrange an introduction to my client who fits that model, that demographic, and was really trying hard to make it happen, and it didn't line up correctly. My client wasn't interested, but really went out of my way to try and help him because I would love to be able to do something nice for him. So that's your mission. Mm-hmm.
There's where you can just hump it. You could cold call for that. You could literally ask everybody. By the way, you know somebody that's, you know, exactly. Ask every single person you know anywhere, everywhere for that. Just hump it and get, you know, you get 10, 15 lined up, go see them all, see if they're a good fit, and then introduce them.
Hell,
they might all become clients. You never know, but you're not prospecting for yourself then. You're prospecting for somebody else. So you can hump the hell out of that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? You can be a maniac. You can cold call your brains out for that.
I do know what you mean.
You know what I mean? You don't have to, no fear, right? You're not trying for yourself. You're trying for him.
Right. Sure.
It's a riot.
Certainly I can start by asking other advisors here because if they have somebody, a client of theirs who sells their business for, it's amazing how much these businesses, these practices can sell for.
Well, that story that you just told me was exactly that, you know, it was doctors selling their businesses. That was the mastermind group. It's so funny. CPA, attorney, all those guys specialized in helping doctors sell their businesses. So if you had a mastermind group like that of professionals that help doctors sell their businesses, and all those guys were referring to you and they were selling to this guy, I mean, that would be that's a great thing for you to create. Why don't you create that?
That does make sense.
That's your job, okay?
All right.
You got a buyer.
Right.
I mean, that's ridiculously hard to find. Somebody that's a real legitimate buyer. I mean, now you just have to, so now find out who are the people that he works with when they are selling their businesses. Who are the best guys in your market for helping doctors sell their businesses? CPA, attorney, all the rest of the professionals. Realtor, everybody. And then create that mastermind group around selling your businesses. And you don't have to sell them all to him. You can sell them to whoever is the best buyer, right? But he can be one of them, and he'll love you for creating this mastermind group. And then instead of you just hunting, you got five guys hunting.
That makes sense.
It's a really good, I mean, it's a really, really good idea since it fits perfectly
really
and it already worked for this guy. This guy's first
right.
time he ever got it, he got a $5 million account. It was insane as soon as he joined the group.
That's great.
Yeah, it was crazy. He's just like, oh, thanks. This is a really good idea. I go, no kidding. Good job.
That's funny.
You more than paid for me.
Yep.
Yeah, you're the perfect guy to do this. This is a really good idea. Okay, that's your job. Do it.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
Maybe some of those, maybe some of the guys that you're already are thinking of for your mastermind group are those guys. I don't know. But the more they specialize in finding doctors and selling their practices, that's a pretty specialized group.
For sure.
The better, right? Yeah. Maybe you have two groups, friends of his, and then a group specializes in selling practices. Yeah, this is a great, fun project. I'm glad you mentioned it.
That sounds good. Me too.
Yeah. Let me know.
All right.
Let me know.
I do.
I appreciate it. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Good call. Thanks.
All right. Take
Bye.
Care.